Let's pray again. Gracious Father in heaven, we come to your word with humility, knowing, Lord, that you alone, through your spirit, can help us to understand, to apply, especially when we come to this very important subject, the topic of peace. Let your peace invade every aspect of our life for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome to the House of the Lord. We are in the season of Advent, which means come. Who's coming? Jesus. And we said Advent, coming, there are two ways that we come to Advent. The first coming is when we welcome Jesus, baby Jesus, at Christmas. He came and grew, died on the cross for our sin, came back to life after 3 days so that we can have a new life, and then gave us the whole, and then went to heaven. As he went to heaven, sent us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us so that we can live victorious Christian life until the second advent, when he's coming back, not a baby, but the King Jesus Christ. And then in this short passage that we just read through Pastor YK, that Advent, Jesus is coming. But this time he will come on a horse, not a donkey. He will come to judge. And then we need to prepare ourselves for that same second coming. And that's where the writer Peter is urging us, is teaching us the importance of being spotless, to be at peace with him. Otherwise, we will perish. And therefore, today, as we are waiting for that second coming, we're going to talk about peace between us and God, peace between each other. You know, if you listen to the news, there are many, many wars always going on this planet Earth. Go to Syria, American just bombed ISIS there, you know, a few days ago. Go to Ukraine, the war is still going on. Go to Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, you might not hear it. Go to the Darfur. Many, many wars are going, people are dying. But we're not talking about that war and peace. The peace we'll be talking about is the peace in your individual life. The peace in your family. If you're following the news, a few days ago in the U.S., a filmmaker living in 13 million mansion, 13 million U.S. dollar home, he and his wife allegedly were slaughtered by their own son that they welcomed to this world. I don't think you hear it. If you have heard it, think about that. Every father and mother, one of the days that he or she never forget, they can tell you, talk to any father and any mother, they all give you memory, funny memory of the day that child came. Even their 20 children, they all remember their stories. And then to think that one of these that you're welcoming with joy, will be the one going to kill you, is unthinkable. But it happened. The son is in jail right now waiting for his trial. Now, yesterday I woke up, looked at my WhatsApp. I could see someone was trying to call me. As I got ready and called back, a sister from London, Ontario, I said, my sister, what happened? He said, Pastor. I said, yes. Do you remember when you came a month ago to our African Women celebration in London? I said, yes. At the end of the program on that Sunday, it was about a month ago, November 26th this year, I went to London, Ontario, after preaching here. Guess what? We had a talent show, Nigerian, Malian, Cameroonese. As you know, African would like dance. So these two ladies were here at the front as MCs. One of them was a pastor's wife leading the show. I have video of it. Nigeria. And the Nigerians will put the music, Nigerian music. You should see all the, well, we're all going like this. Hey, we're all going like this. And the two ladies were all dancing. Long story short, one of the ladies who was leading that talent show as an MC was found dead in her house yesterday. And who is in jail? Her husband, pastor. I just sat there for 5 minutes. I'm a pastor. As you know, in an African context, when you show up as a pastor, whether you like or not, they put you at the front. All our pastors, we, including myself, we were put at the front. Special table. They gave us, Pastor Nuhum from Toronto. I stood up and like that. And this pastor couple, they introduced them. But 1 month later, the pastor allegedly killed his wife. Why am I going through all this? Non-Christian, Christian. Yes, war in Ukraine, war in Mali. That's a small war compared to war that is going on in individual life and family life. There are so many wars going on. This is where, brother and sister, I'm praying with all my heart, not trying to impose this sermon on you, but this is one of the most important sermons, in my opinion, for all of us today, that we will understand what God means by peace, and then we will become instrument of peace. Is the greater gift that you give to yourself, give to your spouse, give to your children, give to your business, give to your neighbor. If you don't understand this, life will become a hell. Because any life, individual life, any family life without peace, it's not fun to be there. It's not. You can have 13 million mentioned. But that 30 million mention will become a hell, a jail for you. But you know what? You can be living in a tent. You have no mention. But when you have peace, you have paradise in that tent because of peace. And this is why, brother and sister, let the Holy Spirit guide us today as we say, what is peace? Peace describes the state of being. Peace describes the state of being we all desire to have. The word peace brings to mind the absence of war. It evoke images of people getting along with one another and living together in harmony. A similar sense comes from having inner peace, a quality of internal rest and calm. But neither kind of peace can be had without paying the price for it. We must release everything to God. We know that we have acquired true peace if, when things are chaotic all around us, we can be calm and trust in the one of whom the scriptures say he himself is our peace. This is from a book called Living in God's Grace, page 179. This was a couple I met before I got married, at my wedding, they came and gave me this book. That book had touched me so much. If you notice, I quote a lot from this book. Brothers and sisters, this is the peace we all desire to have. And the truth is this, God in Jesus Christ has made it available to us. But many of us have not learned how to seize it, how to use it, and let transform us to become, you know what, this instrument of peace in who we are and where we are. And yes, the question is, what break our peace? What destroy peace? You see, sin takes away our inner peace. Sin. When you go to Isaiah chapter 59, 1 to 2, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too full, too dull to hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. God is available. God's peace is available. But our own behavior, our sinful life, has taken away this God's peace that he has made available to us. And yes, you go to James chapter 1, 14 to 14 to 15. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and excited and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You get where it's going? I just talked to you about two deaths right now. And then not putting too much charge on you. I told this story many, many times here. And I'll repeat as a third example. One of the closest friends to my first son, Joshua. Joshua, he's in university now. In 2014, our youngest daughter was born. As I said, we were in the hospital. All of a sudden, there's cold. All the nurses and doctors are rushing. Oh, I said, what happened? Oh, they just brought two children at the hospital. But one has passed away, the girl. The boys are trying to help him to survive. Little did they know in that context that is a family that we know. A few hours later, I left my wife Karen and baby Elizabeth in the hospital, went to pick up the kids from their bus in the afternoon. As Joshua and Esther came out of the bus, I could see on their faces they were not happy. I said, what happened? They said, Papa, our friend gave the name, the sister died. I said, what happened? I said, oh, this is what we heard last night when we were receiving Elizabeth. Long story short, I went to that funeral, not too far away from our home. It's this young girl. It turned out it was a father himself, who went to the school and lied to the school that they have dental appointment. It was not true. Took his son, his daughter from school. Took them to a hotel. As you know, children like pizza. Put poison in the pizza and drink, put poison in it and give to them. When they ate it, their own father. Guess what? The daughter died. I'm sitting looking at that beautiful girl in her coffin, crying. I've seen a lot of death in Africa, but most of them, malaria, snake, not being killed by your own father. And guess what? A Christian man. Brother and sister, you see, sin lead to death. physical death. And then for all of us, if we don't have a handle on it, guess what? It's the worst of the death is spiritual death. And therefore, brothers and sisters, you see, we need that sin under control. And yes, two different sins that really takes away our peace with God and one another. You see, the first one is guilt. Guilt. You sit there by yourself. There's a guilt, a heaviness on your heart. Guilt is something you have done wrong, and you know it. Sometimes people know about it. People don't know. But you know, God knows about it. You know about it. And it's eating your peace. Guilt is a heavy burden that many of us are carrying around. In the end, some of us, it leads us in addiction. In the end, some of us, you just commit suicide because it's too heavy. And that for us, how do we deal with that guilt that we all have? Because the reality is we all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. Guilt itself is the human condition. We have guilt because we all are sinners. How to deal with it? You see, Romans chapter 8, 1 to 2. Jesus, God, through the mouth of Paul to us, therefore there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Christ has set you free. There's a solution. There's a solution to guilt. We all have guilt, but how to deal with it? There's a solution, Christ. And yes, the second heavy sin for all of us, taking away our peace, personal peace, is what we call worries. Worries in general, if guilt has to do something has happened in the past and you're sitting in the present mourning about it, worries is the opposite. Worries is something that has you worrying about the future. And you're sitting right now in the present and thinking about tomorrow, my retirement, my children, my in the future, in the present time, and it takes away your joy, your peace right now. Therefore, brothers and sisters, a lot of us in individually and in our families, these are the two major things that take away our peace. And if we don't know how to handle it, fight start all over every place. Fight started. A lot of us fight started in the family when your parents pass away. Because I don't have enough money retirement, you start to fight over the inheritance of dad and mom. Because I'm worrying about how I'm going to have a better life. And then you start to fight over your parents' money, children. You have seen it? Or sooner, instead of worrying about how can we have a beautiful funeral for mom and dad. No, because of us, the rest of us, we're so worrying about our future money safety. All about fighting about his inheritance or mom inheritance right now. Because of the worries. Brothers and sisters, how do we deal with worries so that it won't take away our inner peace today, individually and collectively? Guess what? Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 33. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Guess what? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Yes, worries are part of our natural fabric. Whether you like or not, yes, you need to think about what will be next for me. So that it won't take away your peace today, you turn around and say, Jesus, I'll seek you first. You are the same yesterday. You are the same today as I'm thinking about my guilt and my worries. And you are the same tomorrow. Therefore, you are in charge of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I'll come to you. I'll come to you. The point is this, you and I, no matter what we do, individually, collectively, guilt and worry will be part of our journey. There's nobody who says, I'm so spiritual that I have no worries. No, that's not true. There's nobody who says, I'm so spiritual that I have no guilt. No, that's not true. We all have guilt, we have worries, but what do you do with them so that they don't take away your peace? To make you an instrument of death to yourself and to other people is to go back to this Jesus Christ. And therefore, you see, brothers and sisters, the message is today, come to Jesus for the restoration of your peace. Matthew chapter 11:28. This is Jesus' word. Come to me. All you were weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. We're burdened by our guilt. We're burdened by our worries. And he give you rest. Rest, calm, give you peace that he's in charge. Now, does it mean you just sit there, you have this and just sit there? No. Because you have rest in Jesus Christ, you continue to act, you continue to work, you continue to love. And let Jesus Christ take care of everything. Sometimes we make the mistake, well, Jesus said not to worry, just sit there, do nothing. No, because of your trust in Jesus Christ, you continue to do the right thing. You continue to act. You continue to speak kindly. And in the process of doing that, you'll be surprised how the rest of Jesus Christ comes. And that's my prayer for each one of us, that as you think about what is built in your heart today, like I do, that you come to Jesus. Jesus, I need rest from my guilt. I need rest from my worries. And give me the courage to stand up, little is much when God is in it. Whatever little action you want me to take in my homework as a student, my business, my family, whatever it is, I will do it. And bring me rest in the process. And yes, brother and sister, you see, John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not be afraid. This is Jesus, the Prince of Peace. I tell you why. He is the same yesterday when your guilt action happened. He is the same today as you sit and let guilt and worry steal your inner peace now. He is the same today. Come to him, Jesus. I'm concerned about this in prayer. And then yes, he's the same tomorrow. You don't know what's happening tomorrow, but it's good enough to trust in the one who's in charge of tomorrow. Brother and sister, let that be a reality in your life. And yes, in all this, how do we do it? Repentance. Repentance is a wonderful word. It's meaning, repentance means to turn around. You're going like this, you know? Repentance means 180-degree turn around. Now, that's the first repentance for salvation. If you're a non-believer, you have never accepted the law, you need repentance to turn away from Satan, to turn away from sin by the power of God's word and his spirit and his Jesus Christ himself. Turn away from the world, to turn away from sin, and to follow Jesus. That's the first radical repentance. The other repentance that you and I are called to do in the book of Peter, as we just read, is just correction. 5 degree here, 10 degree here. It's like when you take 401. We wish 401 can be a straight line like this, right? We wish all the road that we're driving would be so straight that you just keep going like this. But you know, even by the nature of the road, sometimes you have to steer a little bit. Otherwise, you go in the bush like that. So the repentance we're talking about as follower of Jesus Christ is now you are following Jesus, but we're still sinners because you know what? Sin is still hunting us. And then we are trying in that repentance that we are not under the power of sin. Because Jesus died for the penalty of sin, taking us away from hell. And then the second reason Jesus died for us is to take away the power of sin. That sin does not control us. And that's where it's the 5 degree, 10 degree correction like this so that we stay with Jesus Christ. And that's the repentance that you and I need, most of us. Because I believe in my heart that we all have with radical repentance at the beginning to say, I belong to Jesus. But for the reason not to be under the control of sin, we need still repentance of 10 degrees, 15 degrees, 20 degrees, depending on the trajectory of your road. And therefore, brother and sister, it starts with confession of sin. The guilt you're sitting there, I'm guilty, guilty, you know something went wrong. Guess what? Your repentance starts with confession. And that's why you see Psalm 32, verse 5. Then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You hear it? The Lord that you're sinning in front of. Yeah, you can hide your sin from me, but you can't hide from the Lord. And the good news is this, to confess to the Lord, not to the pastor, not to your wife. But now, you have to confess that. And then in that confession, guess what? The Lord promised you, you'll be receiving forgiveness of Jesus Christ. That's where you see 1 John 9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Because you, me, we cannot forgive your sin. Only Jesus can forgive your sin. Therefore, you confess to him. And as you confess your sin to him and then recognize that you are a sinner, guess what, brothers and sisters? He will speak to you. Yes, my son, my daughter, you went wrong. I accept your forgiveness. I purify you. And at a certain time, he needs to do reparation. In some certain case, you need to do reparation. You need to repair. You need to get back. Well, now, because usually that sin is you have committed sin against your spouse, your children, someone else. You need to restore things. Well, you need to go back. If there's sin you have committed against your wife, yes, you confess to Jesus Christ, to God, but you still need to go back to my wife, to your children, and say, I'm sorry. I ask God to forgive me, but God sending me to tell to you about it. As a husband from Africa, with my wife, a Dutch Canadian, we come from different culture. But what helped us in almost 20 years is Jesus Christ. Husband and wife. I just told you how the pastor just killed his wife, allegedly. So many times I got in conflict, in war with my wife Karen at the beginning. So that I won't say bad word too much to her. I just take my coat. Huh? Okay, I'm going for a walk. Go on the trail. Go for a walk. When I come back, okay, how will your walk? Don't want to say anything. So mad. Other time, you don't plan it. We're just eating children around. We start having disagreement. Children are looking at us. Sometimes they're even crying. Because mom and dad are in disagreement. So many times, a few times, as I go to that walk, Nuhum, the way you spoke to Karen in front of your children is not nice. You have to think about it. This is a seed you're putting in your children's life in front of your, in your children's life, the way you spoke to your wife. If you don't want your children to repeat the same thing with their future spouses, you need to go back to Karen. Ask not only forgiveness to her, but in front of all the children. Say, yeah, God, how can I do that? If I do that, I'll appear weak to my children. But I have no choice. After that walk, I wait for another time we're eating together. A few times this happened to me. Say, Karen, in front of all the children, I'm very sorry. The way I spoke to you the other day in front of the children, it was not nice. Forgive me. Children, I'm sorry the way I spoke to your mom. Would you please forgive me? I should not treat your mother like that. You know, brother and sister, I'm not putting this to put myself on a pedestal. But it's a teaching to all of us. Your children don't need fake faith. Because sometimes we're so spiritual. We want to show we're spiritual. No. The children need to see genuine faith. In that genuine faith, we all are going to have guilt and worries. But how you deal with it, you need to teach the children how to do it. In that way, they know, yes, mom and dad are not perfect. But there are also serious in their faith by asking for forgiveness. Other cases, I'm so tough on my children that, you know what, after thinking about how I treated them in their punishment, it was too harsh. I would go to them, Joshua, Esther, can you forgive me? And then one time it happened for us in Africa. My father had said something that Joshua did, and it turned out it was not the case. I took Joshua and went to my father. I said, Father, Father, you're a pastor, I'm a pastor. Our grandson, we just found out what we said it was not true. We had to ask for forgiveness. I know culturally, this is not something we do here in Africa, but Jesus is about culture. My father had to look at me and all of us say, Joshua, forgive us. So that he learned that when his own turn comes, this is how the way you treat it. And therefore, brother and sister, let the word of God, repentance, be above everything, because at the end of the day, this is how you cultivate peace. With all this, because you see, by saying I acknowledge my sin, that humility, the problem that a lot of us have as a third problem, after guilt, after worries, the problem number three we run into is pride. If I acknowledge my sin, it will be kind of I'm weak. When you go in that way, you destroy your peace forever. And you destroy peace in your family. And if it's not control, you bring in death on yourself and your family. Swallow your pride and humble yourself as Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself to save you. You have to humble yourself to receive his forgiveness. And in doing so, you get your peace. And yes, experience that peace with God. Isn't it beautiful that you see in the end, Peter, in our passage? So then, dear friend, since you are looking forward to this, to the coming of Jesus Christ, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. The first peace you need to have is to have peace in your heart with God. Without this first peace, no peace is possible with you and your fellow human being, starting your own family. Therefore, brother and sister, let you see, how are you at peace with God in your life? Is there any spot in your life where there's no peace? Think about those. And if you spot a place where there's no peace, you go to confession. Acknowledge that part. And ask his faithfulness, his kindness, to make you free from that sin. But it goes with make every effort. Peace takes effort. It took Jesus effort to go from heaven to earth. It took him effort to go to the cross for you. All of us, we need to make effort. The effort to come down from your pride. The effort to go to, yes, to Jesus for forgiveness. And yes, it's not finished. To make reparation in your effort to go back to your wife, Karen, to your spouse, to your children, and ask them forgiveness and swallow your pride. It takes effort. If you don't want to make that effort, it won't work. And yes, brother and sister, as you have that peace with God, guess what? Experience peace with people. And you see, Ephesians chapter 4. You see, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. Again, you see there, make every effort. You see, effort is there. The effort is there. The question is, by trying to make peace with God and people, what is the price of your effort? Can you describe what effort have you made to make that peace? The unity. In your family, you want to be united. In this local church, you want to be united. It does not mean uniformity. We all have to wear the same white shirt. It's not like that. But to have one vision, and then we all in our diversity work toward the unity of the body. And do the same thing in your family. Yeah, you are all diverse. You all have different nature. You all have different personality. But let your personality be used in every effort you make to keep that peace. Make an effort. Children, make effort to make peace with your father and mother. Mother, make every effort to be in peace with your husband. Please, husband, make an effort. Again, make an effort. And then guess what? Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It was one friend who told me, Nuhum, did you realize United Nations, when there's war anywhere in the world, when they send United Nations soldiers, do you know how they call their soldiers in those countries? Peacekeepers. Do you remember United Nations would say, we send peacekeepers. Never peacemakers. Jesus never talked about peacekeeper. It's peacemaker. It's more difficult to make peace than to try to keep it. And that's where United Nations never worked, because they never understood. You cannot keep a peace you have never made in the first place. You can't do it. And they go there 20 years, 40 years, the war is still going on. Because how do you keep a peace you never made in the first place? For you, God children, Jesus will go to the roots. Instead of making a peacekeeper, guess what? It's better to make peace when you make peace, you become an instrument. Wherever you are, no, I'm here instead of keeping peace, that because we have messed up in my behavior, I'll make it. That's the way to go. So make it your mission in your life. Everywhere I go, instead of trying to keep peace, No. I'm the one, when I show up, things are calm. There's no chaos. When I'm the one, when I show up in my family, people start to smile. When I show up at my church, local church, people are happy. And people are not afraid. People have peace with each other. Make that your mission. And yes, brother and sister, you see, as a practical side of this sermon today, as a practical side, practice of peace with God and people. Question for you to take home for today and for the rest of your life. What are some areas of your life where you lack peace with God? Think about that. Is there any guilt in your heart today? Do you have peace? Think about those. And then is there anyone in your family, friend circle, or others with whom you need to make peace? Think about that. But you know, you can make that peace, but it does not mean reconciliation, because it takes two people to be reconciled. As we said, it's about forgiveness. It's about repentance. You can forgive your father, but what happens when your father does not forgive you back? The reason why you work with God, because God has forgiven us in the first place. And then when we respond to his forgiveness, it becomes reconciliation. God in Jesus is available for all of us. But what happened? Yes, you have tried everything. This is where I'll give you a next example. The prodigal father, the prodigal son. Do you remember? The father has shown all kind of love to his son. But one day the son decided to take all his stuff to go away. You know what? The father stayed put at home. In his heart, he had already forgiven to his son. But you know what? It took the son to realize, I messed up. And the son, in the end, come back. And you hear the story in Luke 15. When the father saw the son far away, the father still run and hug him. So that was reconciliation. Yes, it's hard. You will forgive your spouse. But when your spouse does not forgive you, what do? You forgive your children, but if they don't forgive you, you know what happened there? You have peace with God. Because deep down in your heart, you release that war to God. But the other one, you can't force him or her to accept your forgiveness. But the most important thing is you have given that to God. And then wait in prayer that that person will respond to your forgiveness. Therefore, think about this. And yes, to end all this, I want to end with this, a prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. I'm sure you have seen this prayer before. It's one of my favorite prayers. It's prayer for peace. Could we read it together? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's desperate, hope. Where there's darkness, light. Where there's sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Let this be a reality for us. It's all through Jesus as we come and give a burden of our guilt, our worries, and swallow our pride and say, Jesus, I mess up. Forgive me. And he's faithful to give you his peace. And then give you the strength to go to whether you have wrong, be your wife, your husband, your children, and say, I'm sorry. In Jesus, forgive me. And you are a peacemaker, and you will be a child of God. That's what we need today in our families and everywhere we go. And let it be reality in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.